Hola, y gracias por volar en la aerolínea aérea de Phil Henry. Estaremos volando a una altitud de 30,000 pies. Oh, y también Springheart.
Welcome back to the Phil Henry Show and the greatest made-for-television films of all time. We honor Nonsense 2, the sequel, Still the Beaver, Mother, May I Sleep with Danger, Co-ed Call Girl, A Friend to Die For, and then, of course, the films that are like a series, Against Their Will, Women in Prison, Broken Promises, Taking Emily Back, Locked Up, A Mother's Rage. Heather Locklear, by the way, will we ever forget her as Melody Shepherd in Lethal Charm, 1991? Then you have another one here. This is with, oh, one of the greats, Nancy McKeon. She's outstanding in Love, Honor, and Obey, The Last Mafia Marriage, 1993. Then we have, and these are the biographical. Now, does anybody know who, seriously, I don't remember who this is. This is a made-for-TV movie in 1994 starring Jacqueline Smith. Cries Unheard, The Donna Yaclin. Forgive me. Okay. Cries Unheard, The Donna Yaclin Story. I swear to God, man, that's the name of it. I don't know who that is. You know what? It might be something really tragic. I'm sitting there laughing, and I don't mean to. Here's another one. Lies of the Heart, The Story of Lori Kelly. Who the hell is... 1994. Now, Cries Unheard, The Donna Yaclin Story, starred Jacqueline Smith as Donna Yaclin. Lies of the Heart, The Story of Lori Kelly, was also with Jacqueline Smith. We're going to move on now to John Schneider, and he was in another one of those films that was kind of like a series, you know, when you have a colon, they're like Desperate Journey, colon... This is Desperate Journey, the Allison Wilcox story. John. Yes, John plays Allison Wilcox in this film. No, John Schneider, 1993, Desperate Journey, the Allison Wilcox story. John plays Eddie. And a great turn indeed. Now let's get on to Kate Jackson, who I think has done some outstanding work. Kate Jackson was in a film in 1981 called Inmates, A Love Story. And her character's name was Jane Mount. All right, grow up. In 1995, though, I think made-for-television films achieved an epical moment with the classic Murder on the Iditarod Trail. Starring... Kate Jackson as Jesse Arnold. I got money that says anybody, any woman named Jesse in a made-for-TV movie, she's like a cop or a Mountie or something. Or she's like in Iditarod, yeah, but she's a hero. She's a heroine. 1995, Murder on the Iditarod Trail. Then came many great moments before that with Kate Jackson, 1975's Death Scream, 1974's Death Cruise, and 1974's Killer Bees, where she played Victoria Wells. She played Victoria Wells in Killer Bees. And then in 1973, we had Kate in Satan's School for Girls. Now, I wasn't able to get too deeply into Valerie Bertinelli's very illustrious filmography and resume. And maybe that's something we could check in the next break, get print off Valerie Bertinelli entirely, Mike. But in 1995, Valerie Bertinelli, who's kind of gotten away from showbiz for a while. I mean, I know that she is still very much devoted to her family, the wife of Eddie Van Halen. But she did do The Haunting of Helen Walker in 1995. She played Helen Walker, Valerie Bertinelli. Let's move on now to, and I haven't had a chance to preview any of these, Meredith Baxter. Meredith Baxter, born in 1947. She's a native of Los Angeles. Meredith Baxter Burney was her name, sometimes credited as Meredith Baxter Burney, when she was married to David Burney. She's been in a number of made-for-television films, one called Dog's Best Friend. Here's one called Betrayed, a story of three women. She played Amanda Nelson. And then in 1994, kind of a quirky little made-for-TV thing called My Breast. She played Joyce Wadler. in the film My Breast. In 1994, a film called For the Love of Aaron. Wasn't there one in here called Taking Back Emily, For the Love of Aaron? Either it's got something to do with a kid being stolen, or it's a black kid that a white woman adopted. And For the Love of Aaron could be any of the, and it might be a true story. I don't know. In 1992, Meredith Baxter was again seen in her final fury, Betty Broderick, The Last Chapter. Do you recall that name, Betty Broderick? Somewhere in the news, I remember the name. They did one movie about Betty Broderick, but I guess her life was so compellingly interesting that they come out with another movie, Her Final Fury, Betty Broderick, The Last Chapter. Well, she goes into a Home Depot with a machete. I don't know what she did. In one instance, she's just stealing money from her husband. In the next one, she pilots a freight train through a Home Depot. How about the story of Ann Gillian and her breasts, starring Ann Gillian? You recall that? Yeah. That one was called My One Good Breast. I know, I'm just kidding. I know she had, it was very sad. The story of Ann Gillian and her breasts. In 1992, oh, here's part one, Woman Scorned, the Betty Broderick story. So you got part two is her final fury, the Betty thing. Meredith Baxter also did a number of other made-for-TV films. The Night That Panicked America in 1975. She did one, The Stranger Who Looks Like Me. And here's another one of these interesting names, people that you don't know. Maybe they're famous, maybe they're not. The Invasion of Carol Enders. She played Carol Enders in that. And a number of others. Moving from Meredith Baxter Burney's career, we got Cheryl Ladd here. Cheryl Ladd, of course, was one of the Angels, Charlie's Angels. In 1993, Cheryl Ladd also appeared in Broken Promises, Taking Emily Back. She was also in Locked Up, A Mother's Rage. She was also in a film called Michael Landon, The Father I Knew, which I am going to have to say was a biography of Michael Landon made for television movie. She was in Crash, The Mystery of Flight 1501. Which one was that? The Mystery of Flight 1501? Crash, The Mystery of Flight 1501. What mystery was that? And when did it crash? What about the Lockerbie crash? How about something about that? Crash, The Mystery of Flight 1501. Let's, while we're on the subject, not forget Delta Burke and her role in V. Well, she wasn't that real evil chick in V. Was she the evil chick? I thought it was somebody else. Oh, really? You sure it was Delta Burke? It wasn't some other brunette. When she was thin? I think it was some other actress. I could be wrong. Back me up on this, or Mike, if you'd like. In 1980, Cheryl Ladd was in Guyana Tragedy, The Story of Jim Jones. I don't know whether or not that's the great one with Powers Booth. The Powers Booth one kicked ass. But they did a bunch of Guyana Tragedy ones, and I'm not sure whether that one was it. Guyana Tragedy, The Story of Jim Jones. She was also in Satan's School for Girls in 1973 and appeared in Ken Berry's Wow Show. That is Cheryl Ladd. Now let's move on to, I got another of this, Betty Broderick, A Woman Scorned. I guess that's Cheryl Ladd, right? All right, we'll move on now to Tina Yothers, because somebody requested that we look up Tina Yothers. Now, you can take this for whatever it's worth. Oh, Jacqueline Smith was also in Satan's School for Girls, as was Kate Jackson. So we got all three of them, and they, again, were reunited in Charlie's Angels. Tina Yothers, who was in Family Ties, you may recall her. She was in a film in 1993 called Spunk, the Tonya Harding story. Spunk, the Tonya Harding story. Then she was in a 1990 made-for-TV movie called The Laker Girls. Also appeared in 1988's Crash Course, a.k.a. Driving Academy, and was in Perry Mason Mystery, The Case of the Jealous Jokester, 1995. Tina Yothers. We're going to be right back here on the Phil Henry Show with the greatest made-for-television films of all time. We also have somebody checking in with information on Betty Broderick on the Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. All right, anyway. Welcome back to Phil Henry Show. You know, there's only so much of that cornball, you know. Okay, kill it. There's only so much of that that we can stand. Well, you get the idea. This is the best television movies of all time. And we have run down some great ones and some pretty fair actors and actresses who've been in them. Which one so far? Would you like that? What's the one? Spunk. The Tonya Harding story. Spunk. You got your spunk. Why don't they just call it Spooge, the Tonya Harding story? Great. And you would? And see, Crozier just put his vote in for that. We also had some good ones. And again, Inmates, a Love Story. I got to tell you, Kate Jackson in Inmates, a Love Story, playing the part of Jane Mount, as far as I'm concerned, and that and Murder on the Iditarod Trail, Kate Jackson is Jesse Arnold right there. I mean, I'm setting my VCR. I'm ordering up extra television sets. I am in for the night, my man. Here's San Diego on the Phil Henry Show. Hi.
Hey, Phil. How's it going?
Good. How are you, sir?
Good. I wanted to talk about Betty Broderick and what happened.
Betty Broderick? Now, they made two movies about her, and then there's Betty Broderick, The Final Fury.
Yeah. I never saw any of those. But she was the La Jolla socialite who killed her ex-husband and trophy wife, and she was absolutely psychotic after they got divorced. I mean, she called them and harassed them, and I listened to a little of the trial, and she was absolutely crazy. And then one night, she couldn't handle it anymore, and she drove her car into the front door and went upstairs and shot him.
She drove the car right into the house?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, in La Jolla.
So what was her final fury?
I think that was it.
Was that it?
Yeah.
Because the movie, I wish I could find it now, Betty Broderick, something about her. Ah, shoot. Let me get over here to Meredith Baxter Burney. Does she play? Oh, here. Woman Scorned, the Betty Broderick story.
Okay.
And then comes the sequel, which is, you know, Betty Broderick, too much, you know, I've taken too much crap. What's the name of the thing?
But you don't remember that in, like, 1992, I think it was?
Here it is. Her Final Fury, Betty Broderick, the last chapter. I seem to recall, was she a dumpy blonde?
Yes,
she's
exactly.
Kind of a fat blonde.
Yeah.
Huh? She got fat. She used to be pretty nice looking, and then she got fairly dumpy. Yeah, I remember that.
And then, you know, he was an attorney, and he married his legal secretary, who was pretty hot, too.
He divorced Betty?
Yeah.
And so she couldn't stand it any longer and drove the car into the house.
You got it. And then those two lost an argument with a shotgun, I think. The husband and wife.
I think it's interesting that there's the story about Betty Broderick, Woman Scorned, and then there's The Final Fury.
Yeah.
Betty, what else did she do, man? Was she the one who stole that tank down there?
She was just as bad.
Okay, brother, thank you.
Trial.
Thanks for that.
They ended in a mistrial, and then they finally convicted her, and she's doing like 100 years or something.
Well, what? Oh, really? It was a mistrial. Why? Because the guy wasn't dead enough? What?
I don't know what the... I don't know. They said she was insane, I think. That was it.
That ought to do it. They ought to put her in a soft room for that.
Nah, but they put her in a prison cell.
Just dig this. Two movies in the same year. Two.
I know.
Woman Scorned, the Betty Broderick story, 1992, and then Her Final Fury, Betty Broderick, the last chapter, played by Meredith Baxter.
Yeah.
Who is not fat and dumpy, last I checked.
I thought it was kind of weird when you said that.
Yeah, they got to make him look real. It's like that Tuesdays with Maury.
Yeah.
Hank Azaria is way better looking than Mitch Albom, but you know, I guess it's not the point. The point is get a good actor in there.
Yeah.
And
one last thing, Bobby Dooley rules.
Bobby Dooley is a Woman Scorned.
You got it.
Yeah, thanks for calling.
We'll see ya.
Phil Henry Show, huh? For Final Fury, Bobby Dooley, Final Fury. God knows what she's going to do to Steve if she ever finds him. Mm-hmm. 1-800-449-8686. Okay, now let's go over to Mark Harmon. I don't see anything really significant in Mark Harmon's story, but let's go down. He's been in some good ones. Fear and Loathing, From Earth to the Moon. But I don't see any of those really cool hyphenated made-for-TV films that he's actually done some things in Spain and some other things, but really nothing of note. We got Richard Chamberlain here. Too Rich, The Secret Life of Doris Duke. Was his most recent made-for-TV movie. He also did The Thornbirds and stuff that you could actually call class. But The Thornbirds and Roots and even Shogun, yeah, those are good, but do they really compare with Betty Broderick, A Woman Scorned? or Janet Reno taking Emily back or whatever. No, I don't think so. We got it. Let's see, in his resume, Cook and Perry, The Race to the Pole, 1983. Wallenberg, A Hero Story, 1985. F. Scott Fitzgerald and The Last of the Bells, 1974. These are all made-for-TV films. And let's see, made-for-television, The Lady's Not for Burning. What does that mean? That's Richard Chamberlain. We also have Dick Van Patten, who, other than a couple of appearances in Al Yankovic videos, has kept pretty close to filmmaking, believe it or not. Although he's been in a series of these Eight Is Enough made-for-TV movies. Here's an Eight Is Enough wedding, Eight Is Enough a family reunion, and a number of those. It's kind of like the Brady Bunch reunion movies, where they had Brady Bunch reunion, the Brady Bunch Christmas. You know, in other words, if you were to look at somebody's resume, someone who was in that, like Anne B. Davis, like half the stuff she did at the end of her life was all Brady Bunch stuff. Well, it's kind of similar. Not exactly the same, but similar in Dick Van Patten's case. The Midnight Hour was another TV movie that he made. And that's it. He was also in Westworld and some really good flicks like Soylent Green. God, man, this guy's done some good things. But nothing, man. I mean, nothing as good as that Eight Is Enough a wedding. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. We're going to have to dig in and find something better than these guys, because it's getting a little thin here. And Valerie Bertinelli, who hasn't been around in a long time, hasn't done anything to top I Was a Mail Order Bride in 1982, and whatever that other thing was, The Haunting of Helen or whatever. 1-800-449-8686. It's Phil Henry's show here. Oh, yeah, Flight 90, A Disaster on the Potomac. I think that was also, that was a Ken Olin made-for-TV movie. But whatever that thing is, Crash, the flight of 1501, somebody know what the hell that is, we'd certainly deserve, and I would expect a phone call on. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Show. I couldn't hear anything. The headphones weren't plugged in. I couldn't hear anything. The headphones weren't plugged in. Welcome back here to the greatest made-for-TV movies of all time. Now, what do we got here? We've got Crash, The Mystery of Flight 1501. We have got some real good ones there. As I mentioned, Murder on the Iditarod Trail, that one, Inmates, A Love Story. Let's get over to Lindsay Wagner. Somebody mentioned Lindsay Wagner. And you recall her as the Bionic Woman. She was in another one of these interesting films, you know, that such and such and such and such, then the continuation of the story. Nurses on the Line, The Crash of Flight 7. It's amazing how many plane crash movies of the week have been made. The one of the better ones that I saw was the one about that Delta flight that crashed in Sioux City, Iowa, with Charlton Heston as the airline captain. You remember that? That was the famous crash where the airline captain said to the control tower, when they said, "You are cleared to land on runway 26, and he said, "Oh, you're going to be particular and make it a runway." It was a very famous line, which Charlton Heston delivered badly. He's a good actor, but I mean, he blew it, because you were waiting for that moment, because it was very famous. It had been recounted in the newspapers, and he did it in the Heston way. He didn't do it like a folksy pilot with a guy's, "Yeah, okay, I'm going to be particular and make it a runway." He's going, "You're going to be particular and make it a runway." He just sort of blew it. I don't know how else to say it. Probably the way that, you know, I'm blowing it right now with this bit. But in any event, Nurses on the Line, the crash of Flight 7 was a Lindsay Wagner 1993 made-for-TV film. Here's one in 1994 called Bionic Ever After? 1994. Here's another one that's got just one of those made-for-TV names. A Mother's Instinct, 1996. Thank you very much, Mike Schaefer, my producer. He's brought me some Melissa Gilbert information that we're going to get into. Here's one from 1992. A Message from Holly. Whatever. Who? Here's another one of those. Police Story, Burnout. 1988. And that, I think, probably wraps up the made-for-TV films career of Lindsay Wagner. I'm just trying to find some other ones that have particularly interesting topics. So that, I would say that's about it. There's something here. The Incredible Journey of Dr. Meg Laurel, made-for-TV, 1979. Who are these people? And I'm not trying to denigrate their lives or their work. Who is Meg Laurel? Who was that other, that Lori Kelly? And does anybody remember? You know how these stories are really huge, and then this for like, do you even remember the name of that woman who was so vocal following the Long Island Railway shootings? Remember the woman who was the wife of the guy, and she went to Congress, and a whole kinds of, bunch of crap happened, and who? Forget it. I can't remember. Here's one, A Stranger in My Bed, 1986. She plays Beverly Slater. And then another airline film starring Lindsay Wagner, The Taking of Flight 847, The Uli Derrickson Story. So we got the Uli Derrickson story, we got the Lori Kelly story, we got the Doris Duke story, don't forget Betty Broderick. Here's one called Against Her Will, The Carrie Buck Story, The Dr. Cecil Jacobson Story. And I mean, who are these people, and why aren't there large volumes written about them? Why haven't we heard more? Why aren't the big screen movies being made about Cecil Jacobson, Carrie Buck, and let's not forget Murder on the Iditarod Trail? S.O.L., Murder on the Iditarod Trail. You are screwed for life, Murder on the Iditarod Trail. Taking It Where the Sun Doesn't Shine, The Cecil Buck Story. A Broom Handle for Cecil, The Uli Diedrichson Story. What in the hell? Okay, so anyway, Charleston on the Phil Henry Show. Hi.
Hi. How about some of those Long Island Lolita movies?
How many people were in those?
Well, I think there were three or four.
Who was the guy that played, what's his name, the Italian?
I don't remember who played him, but I think on one of the Long Island Lolita things, she was played by Alyssa Milano. And another one was Drew Barrymore.
Do you know who Betty Broderick is?
Oh, I heard about that a little bit, but I didn't. Yeah? I don't remember.
How about Dr. Cecil?
Somebody who went crazy.
I know about I know the whole story. Oh, my God. We were force-fed that story for years. That clown. Joey Buttafuoco, his wife came, and the little idiot girl shot his wife, and she's walking around with a half-paralyzed face now. Oh, yeah. We know it's that story just goes on and on and on.
Yeah, but I think there were
about 73 movies. You're absolutely right, ma'am.
Yeah, well, if I'm not mistaken, too, I think one of the major TV channels, well, two of the TV channels
did movies about it.
Had a movie on the same night about it.
About it, yeah, right. Night. Like, are we possibly that interested? I guess so.
Not really.
Thanks for calling. Here is Charlotte on the Phil Henry Show. Hi.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Have you heard of A Broom Handle for Life, the Cecil Jacobson story?
I've missed that one.
Oh, okay, it's great. I sat on a broom handle, the Carrie Buck story.
Well, I'll have to check for that
Check that one out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's on Lifetime. On Lifetime? Do you watch Lifetime?
Well, I see that they always have all the Desperate Women movies.
Yeah, well, Lifetime is a cable network that is actively going after female viewership, actively looking for women to watch.
I don't understand why they feel like women are looking for
all that pathetic
movies about miserable women and murder and...
Yeah, the Betty Broderick story. Yeah, Betty Broderick meets Carrie Buck. Whoever. Yeah, Tori Spelling, you were going to mention, because I mentioned that movie before, Mother May I Sleep with Danger.
Yes.
Did you see that one?
I don't think so. That's the cheesiest title there.
That is so. I'm sorry I missed it. Mother May I Sleep with Danger. What's that about? It's about a girl going out with some dangerous guy from high school?
Yeah, I'm sure. He probably murders her. I don't know.
He kills her?
And then she was in that other one, too, where that girl who's jealous of her in high school.
Oh, yeah. That it's called Co-Ed Killers or something?
Maybe.
Co-Ed.
Jealous and kills her.
Yeah. Tori Spelling's getting off in all these movies.
That's about the only future for her career.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Actually, I think, she's good. I'd like to see her in the third installment of the Betty Broderick story. Betty Broderick Steals a Tank, starring Tori Spelling. Okay, ma'am, thanks.
Thank you.
Goodbye. All the Farrah movies, I was just reminded of by Mike Crozier, but I have to give Farrah Fawcett a couple of kudos for her. You know, I mean, unless she tried, she went and took some acting classes at least. She did. She left Charlie's Angels. She went to New York. She took some acting classes, and then she made Burning Beds. But anyway... Oh, here we go. Atlanta on the Phil Hendry Show. Hi.
Yeah, how about the, remember Bambi Bembenek, the Laurencia Bembenek, and then Tatum O'Neill played her?
The Laurencia Bembenek story.
Yeah.
Was she that one, that murdering thin woman from Canada?
Right, yeah, she was a Playboy bunny.
Oh, God. What was that called? Strange Passion, the Laurencia Bembenek story. Freezing your ass off up north, the Laurencia Bembenek story.
Right, you know, and then there was that huge controversy about extraditing her to the States because we have the death penalty and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I remember that. God, man, when was that? These things have become so cursory and so transient, you know? It's the biggest story of your life for about 3 days. And they make a huge movie out of it, and we can't possibly get enough of it. And then it's gone forever. I got to hand it to Bud Afuco and the rest of those guys because they really kept that thing alive for a long time.
Oh, I think he was paying Letterman and
all those guys to bring him on.
That thing going.
Yeah. Okay, pal. Thanks. Here's Melissa Gilbert with Against Her Will. Oh, I mentioned the Carrie Buck story. Against Her Will, the Carrie Buck story. Well, I guess I know what that's about. Okay. And it's about Carrie Buck, and it was against her will. Little House, Bless All the Dear Children, 1983. And then we got another one in 1983 called Little House of the Prairie, Look Back to Yesterday. And let's not forget 1984, Little House, The Last Farewell. And and then Batman, the Animated Series. So that's Melissa Gilbert's career. Here's one, Shattered Trust, The Sherry Carney Story. Sherry Carney was about shattered trust, but against her will. Now that's about Carrie Buck. Baby Maker, the Cecil Jacobson story. Baby Maker. Cecil Jacobson was the baby maker. Carrie Buck got it against her will, and Sherry Carney got the shattered trust. These are stories that were in the news, big stories, and nobody remembers them, I don't think. And let's not forget, Murder on the Iditarod Trail. All right, anyway, here is Los Angeles on the Phil Hendry Show. Hi.
Hi, Phil. You mentioned Mark Harmon.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did a movie back in the 80s where he played Ted Bundy.
That was a great flick. That was a good made-for-TV movie. The Stranger Beside Me?
Yeah.
I know that movie. I read that book, and then I saw the movie. That was pretty...
I was going to ask you if you'd read the book.
Yeah, I did. Oh, that's a great book. It's The Stranger Beside Me. That's Anne Rule's book.
Right, exactly.
Things out of sight.
The whole thing that's amazing about the book is that she got the contract to write the book before... The facts had come in, they knew who it was. And once the facts came in, it turns out she had already known him from a suicide prevention hotline.
Because he worked on the hotline with her. Yeah, that's awesome.
The Ted Bundy I knew saved lives. He rescued a kid, at a picnic who almost drowned in a pool, It's like...
That was a really cool movie, especially the very end when the cop finally busts him in Tallahassee and beats the crap out of him. Did you ever see Nurses on the Line, The Crash of Flight 7?
No.
Oh, okay, you got to see that.
Little House, Final Fury.
Yeah, Little House, Final Fury. Thanks for calling.
See ya.
No kidding. 1-800-449-8686. You could do that. Nurses on the Line, Look Back to Yesterday. Nurses on the Line, the Carrie Buck story. Laurencia Bembenek. Whatever, I don't know. 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show here with the greatest made-for-TV movies of all time and some of the greatest made-for-TV movie actors and actresses of all time. We got Richard Chamberlain, Lindsay Wagner, we got Melissa Gilbert. And, a person's got to eat, okay? So if I had half a chance, I would have been in all of these movies and very, very happy to be in all of these movies, smiling through every last frame of it and taking all that cash and turning it over to its rightful owner, my wife. Phil Hendry Show. What's the new one coming out? Asshole, the Burt Chambers story. All right, anyway, here is Simi Valley on the Phil Henry Show. Hi.
Hi. My brother asked his wife what she wanted for Christmas, and all she wanted for Christmas was a copy of the movie Sweet Hostage, which was a 1973 made-for-TV movie with Martin Sheen and Linda Blair. And what he's gone to find a copy of this movie is outrageous. He's been on the Linda Blair fan club website, and it turns out that this movie is at the auction houses, and people are auctioning it off for like $70, $80 a pop.
No kidding. I've heard of this flick. Has he tried going to, you know, Amazon.com and all that crap?
Right. It's out of production. It says OOP after it, so it's extremely rare at this point, but I guess it has a huge cult following. She said that it was the best movie she's ever seen.
Sweet Hostage. Was it made for TV?
Yes, made for TV with Linda Blair and Martin Sheen.
I wonder if it's some kind of a, you know, older guy with a 13-year... Wait a minute. I've seen this movie. Yeah, and she falls in love with him or something.
Right. That's. I've been trying to find it for him, too, so all the reviews, that's all I can find on it.
Every man's dream.
I guess so.
Right. So, also, Joanna Kearns is in this movie, I'm told. Oh, no? Okay, forget it. Never mind. Mike Schaefer's giving me a whole bunch of meaningless information. Sweet Hostage, Linda Blair and Martin Sheen. I think I saw that. In fact, I'm pretty sure.
From 1973.
Yeah, I remember when Martin Sheen was doing a bunch of those made-for-TV movies. There was one about him and a gay lover. It was him and Hal Holbrook, and they were gay or something. They were, and they were living together and trying to get his oldest son to accept him. It was very uncomfortable stuff. Not that I'm, you know, anti. I mean, it's okay, but a little weird for 1973.
Right. Okay. I guess I missed that one.
Great. Well. Thank you very much for that.
Thank you.
Not that I'm going to help anybody get it, but I may look for it myself.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks. Colon, the Bob Powell story. Okay, here's San Jose on the Phil Henry Show. Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
All I know is that when I was a kid, it seemed like every week Gary Coleman had a made-for-TV movie.
Yeah.
And there was one, I can't remember the name, where he was a pyromaniac.
Oh, perfect.
I don't know. And then the one I remember very clearly was a remake of The Kid from Left Field.
Yeah.
With the San Diego Padres. And his dad was Robert Guillaume, and he used to be a Padre, and then he ended up being a peanut salesman. And Ed McMahon was the owner of the Padres, and it's just hysterical.
So his father, Robert Guillaume, used to be a member of the San Diego Padres, and now he's selling peanuts in the stands?
Yes.
Like that's going to happen.
It was amazing. It was one of the funniest movies you've ever seen in your
life. And so what did Gary Coleman do? Was he going to try to get his dad out of the peanuts?
He was giving Ed McMahon advice on how to run the team.
Naturally.
And eventually Ed McMahon accepted Robert Guillaume back on the team.
So how come Ed McMahon was taking advice from Gary Coleman?
Because the Padres are doing really bad, and then he had all these great ideas on who should pitch and who shouldn't. And so they eventually had Gary Coleman be the manager of the Padres.
So the owner of the San Diego Padres started taking advice from a 13-year-old kid because that's how bad the team was? He was desperate?
Exactly. And then they end up winning the World Series.
And they wind up winning the World Series after his old man gives up his peanut vendor business and goes back onto the field.
Yes.
Oh, was Gary Coleman a thing called a Pepsi-Cola kid, too?
I don't remember that one. It seemed like, I swear, he had one every week, and they always had weird people in it, like Fred Dreyer was in one, and I don't know why I remember this useless stuff, but...
Hey, you know what? The one you mentioned about him being a pyromaniac, I gotta see that.
Yes, that one.
That sounds awesome.
I seen it like at 3 in the morning once, and that was it.
That's great. Okay, man, thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, now the best one I ever saw was one called Killdozer. And that's with Clint Walker. You guys may not know who he is, but he was a television actor. And it's a bunch of guys who are construction workers on an island in the South Pacific that they used to use as a test site for atomic bombs. So the island is radioactive, or so is the story. Anyway, these guys are there to build an airstrip. The island has long since not been used as a test site for atomic weapons. Now they want to build an airstrip, and the radioactivity makes the bulldozer come to life. And the bulldozer is chasing these guys all over the island. And it was called Killdozer. ABC, made-for-TV movie. And it was kind of interesting because it was so bad that it's legendary among many of the people that I know. It's just legendary. I mean, these people talk about it that I know anyway. Every now and again, you know, the conversation will come up. Hey, remember Killdozer? That thing was so freaking cool. I mean, the bulldozer is chasing these guys. You know, they're trying to shoot it, all that crap. It's metal. How are you going to kill it? It buries one guy, runs over another guy. Guy tries to get up in the seat. I don't know what happens. He just see, you know, the radioactivity is too much for him or something. And these all these dudes want to do is get this airstrip built and go play pinochle before lunch. Huh? I forget how they killed it. They might have blown it up or something. I don't know what they did with it. But killed, I mean, you know, Clinton Walker was the head of this construction crew. It's like the guy that I used to work for this big fat slob when I was in construction, when I was a cement finisher. We had a big fat slob who was our foreman. Like, he's going to chase the killdozer all around the island, this big fat tub of guts, and protect his men. Killdozer. Man, this thing was gorgeous. Okay, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Here's McCall. How you doing tonight?
Hey, good. You're forgetting probably the funniest one ever made from the mid-70s. Eve Plum in Diary of a Teenage Hooker.
Oh, no. Poor Eve Plum. Was she in that?
Yeah, that came out, I want to say 74, 75, real close, only maybe 1 or 2 years after the Brady Bunch ended. And
she kind of
wanted to do get serious.
Get serious. Let's take that image, man. If there was anything left of it, let's go ahead and throttle it. Let's go someplace else entirely. So she's Diary of a Teenage Hooker, made for TV, though. So how good's it going to be?
I remember watching it when I was about 8 or 9 years old. Oddly enough, my mom was out of the house that night. I remember even as a little kid, usually you love everything on TV. I remember looking at this and just kind of scratching my head wondering, you know, why and, you know, why.
Why was Jan doing it?
Right.
Cool. Thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Here is Los Angeles on the Phil Henry Show. Hi.
Hi.
Thanks.
I think the best movie of all time, TV movie, Bad Ronald.
Don't know that.
Jacoby.
Really? You know that one, Mike?
With Kim Hunter from Planet of the Apes.
Oh, yeah?
And it's about a kid who accidentally murders a little girl. And Kim, his mom, hides him in the wall of the house.
And oh, wow.
He has to hide out there. Well, Kim dies, and then he's left in the house. They sell the house, and now he's living in the wall while the new people move in.
Ooh!
Yeah.
That's creepy.
It is freaky.
Does he flip out and stuff?
And he has this land, this fantasy land that he calls Enchantra, I think it's called.
Yeah.
That he draws pictures of it inside this little room.
Ooh!
And he looks at the little girls in the house through this wall, this little hole in the wall, and
he's goofy.
About them being the princesses of-
Hold on. I want to hear more. I think.